And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. When it comes to the effects of climate change, communities of color may be seeing the greater impacts. And the decision-making about how to implement climate solutions are often made without bringing those communities into the fold. Now the Institute for Sustainable Communities is leading a pilot program for change. The Regional Collaboration for Equitable Climate Solutions aims to help advance local and regional climate change planning that centers racial equity. Cincinnati's Green Umbrella took part in the pilot. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the program, our Institute for Sustainable Communities Director of U.S. Programs, Jamie Love. Jamie, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
We have Green Umbrella Climate Policy Lead Savannah Sullivan. Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Michael.
Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio, Vice President of Policy and Strategic Initiatives, Ashley Young. Welcome, Ashley.
Good afternoon.
And Hamilton County Public Health, Health Promotion and Education Director, Mary Ellen Knabel. Mary Ellen, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or email your thoughts, questions, concerns, observations to talk at wvxu.org. I'll start with you, Jamie. This seems to be an underreported part of climate change. Certainly, we talk a lot about climate change and its general impact on all of us. But when did conversation start to emerge that there are particular segments within our communities that might face even further adverse effects of climate change?
Sure. Thank you for that question. So with the Institute of Sustainable Communities, our mission is really to help communities that are most threatened by climate change to address their environmental, economic, and social changes to create a future that is shaped and shared by all. And we know that communities of color in cities and towns across the country are on the front lines against the fight on climate change and are the most impacted by climate change. And so it's really important for us as an organization to support those communities and those local nonprofit organizations, and really making sure that there are community-led and equity-centered climate change solutions that are driven by community leaders. And that's going to be most critically important to be serious about the impact that we want to have on climate change.
Jamie, when you talk about communities of color being on the front lines, I think typically we think of being on the front lines as being first in battle. Is the context different here? Or are we talking about communities that just happen to be living in areas that may see the more immediate adverse effects of climate change?
We are talking about communities that are seeing the most adverse effects, but we know that they don't just happen that way. And so communities were designed through a history of systemic racism and historically inequitable practices such as redlining and other things that have really made communities of color the central location where they are bearing the brunt of climate change. And so they are, you know, typically placed in areas that may be flood zones, that are areas that have poor air quality and environmental toxins, places that have urban heat island effect because there's not enough green space and infrastructure. And so all of these things are exacerbated by climate when there are climate events happening, and therefore these communities have the most brutal impacts from climate change.
Savannah Sullivan is Green Umbrella Climate Policy Lead. Savannah, Cincinnati is part of this pilot program along with communities in Florida and Louisiana. Now, when we see the impacts of climate change, it's different depending on where we are in the world. And it would seem that Cincinnati is quite different than Florida and Louisiana. I know that those are two areas hit by extreme hurricanes, for example. What is the conversation taking place between these communities? What are the similarities and what are the differences?
Yes, thank you, Michael. And thank you for featuring this work and having us here. So we were one of three communities in the pilot, and it wasn't just Cincinnati. We're representing Greater Cincinnati, so a 10-county region, 4 Southwest Ohio counties, 4 Northern Kentucky counties, and 2 Southeast Indiana counties. And While we all experience different climate impacts, many of the ones that Jamie just mentioned in terms of urban heat and air quality impacts from urban heat and flooding, we're all experiencing those in different ways. But what we are all also experiencing is different levels in preparedness for our various impacts. Something I'll highlight about our region is that, you know, we're relatively hilly, susceptible to landslides alongside that flooding. Higher temperatures and air stagnation are increasing ground level ozone smog in our basin and just our general Ohio River Valley. And in terms of preparedness, we are, unfortunately, our three states are some of the least prepared to protect our residents from the public health impacts of climate change. So Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana rank 44th, 42nd, and 41st, respectively, in terms of how prepared they are to tackle the health effects of climate change. And Ohio in particular, one thing that we've observed is that our health departments receive less funding for emergency preparedness than nearly every other state and DC. And so while we're experiencing our own set of climate impacts, we're experiencing, I think, unique challenges in preparedness. And so that is why we're so excited to be participating in this program, to be able to talk about some of the shared social challenges of doing this work. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're all working to work with local governments across our regions to design engagement activities and deliver resources. And so we were able to have conversations about some of the hard questions we're all asking is, are we involving people affected by the decision-making? So the communities that Jamie just mentioned, are we learning about racial equity in our climate planning? And are we embedding this in our decision-making? Are we perpetuating dominant narratives or power structures? And so those were some of the great conversations we were able to have across communities.
Tell me more, Savannah, about what it means to be unprepared to tackle the health effects. You mentioned that Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana all rank quite low in terms of their preparedness to tackle these health effects.
Absolutely. So urban heat, for example, that can create air quality problems. And what we have observed in Cincinnati, for example, is that from one neighborhood to the other, we can see drastic differences in how acute the asthma impacts are, where we're seeing communities of color having significantly higher rates of asthma. And so as urban heat extremifies in our neighborhoods that maybe have fewer trees and fewer protection mechanisms, we will see some of those air quality and asthma impacts increase. And as Jamie mentioned, some of that is not by accident. Neighborhoods have been underserved due to historical practices that have supported sort of systemic racist outcomes. Similarly, in terms of flooding, some of the health impacts that are of great concern are combined sewer overflows, dumping sewage into folks' basements, creating mold and other indoor air quality problems, and just generally the challenges of having to manage debris and all of the emergency management sort of pre-work that can be done can be challenging for communities to access, whether it's flood insurance, that can be spotty access. And so making sure that our frontline communities are first, you know, in line to access some of those services. And one thing we have to really work on as a region is the landslide in question, where we are in a highly susceptible region, but landslide insurance doesn't really exist. And so how are we going to prepare for that? And the health and infrastructure impacts is a huge question that all local governments are going to have on their plate soon.
Ashley Young is Vice President of Policy and Strategic Initiatives at the Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio. Ashley, when we think about communities of color in the Cincinnati region, are there particular parts of this region that are of concern as it relates to climate change and its impact?
I think anywhere that Black people live. I think that Jamie and Savannah really outlined some of the historical context behind how communities were created. I think about the 75 Highway, and we think about high rates of asthma. We know in Avondale, where the Urban League is located, they have some of the highest rates of asthma. And so I think that, you know, we have to understand the historical context. And I think we also have to make the connection for people. When we say climate change, I don't think a lot of times people make the connection between asthma, climate change, and historical things that have happened. And so I think there's a huge opportunity for education within the community so that people are better able to make these connections.
When you talk about anywhere that Black people live, tell our audience what the obvious differences are about where Black people live in this region compared to perhaps their white counterparts in the effects of climate change.
Yeah, so I would say when we think about where Black people are predominantly living, so we think about like even in the city of Cincinnati, we know that we do have Black people that live out in the county as well, but areas tend to be densely populated, also lack of green space as well. So they spoke about green space being able to help mitigate some of the impacts of climate change, where if you don't have trees and parks and different things like that, that has an impact. And so when we think about where Black people are located and we think about, are there parks there? Are there highways historically that have been placed through those communities? And so I think that those are things to think about. And also, are there industries located in there that might be giving off different toxins within those communities? And so I think if you overlay maps and look at green space, historical context, different industries that might be located, you will see that you have a large population of Black people within those communities.
Let's go to Hamilton County Public Health, Health Promotion and Education Director Mary Ellen Knable. Mary Ellen, how are public health organizations preparing and already implementing any types of strategies to address the impacts of climate change?
One way that we're doing this here at Hamilton County Public Health is through our We Thrive initiative. So this is our community-driven initiative to engage communities across Hamilton County to help enhance their overall health, safety, and well-being of their community. So we work with the local jurisdiction who adopt a policy or a resolution pledging their support to the initiative. We form teams within each community that is a diverse representation, try to include as many sectors as we can, from elected officials to fire and police, to community members, churches, businesses, the schools, and really then work the community through in identifying what their top needs are. So there are six pathways We Thrive communities can work on. And as we look at climate change and the impact of climate on the health of communities, that's really woven in throughout all of our various pathways. So as Ashley was talking about parks, you know, as we look at the built environment, as well as when Savannah's talking about emergency preparedness, you know, those are all different aspects of the We Thrive initiative communities can work on. And some of the strategies communities have looked at have been rain gardens. We've been looking at the electric vehicle charging stations, and really just trying to look at how do we weave in these different policies and strategies across all of the work our communities are doing. And I think at the start for a lot of communities is really around education and just raising that awareness and helping them understand what it is, what the impact can be, but then also connecting them to our partners, such as Green Umbrella, who are those experts that can help provide those tangible strategies that they can implement within their own communities.
How are you addressing it in the context of this particular topic that we're exploring today, the adverse effects of climate change, specifically to communities of color? Are those conversations taking place in public health organizations?
They are taking place. So within our environmental health pathway that We Thrive Communities, and we have 29 We Thrive Communities across Hamilton County, and definitely have very diverse communities. So we do definitely have communities of color that are We Thrive Communities. But within the environmental health, they can address air quality, water quality, kind of that built environment as we look at recycling and all of those different aspects. And so the unique thing about We Thrive is that it is community driven. So we know the communities are the expert in their community and what strategies that they can implement that are going to have the greatest impact. So we provide them those education and resources raise the awareness about the issue of climate change, and then help them develop an action plan to implement strategies that will be most meaningful for their community.
We will continue this conversation about climate change and its impact on communities of color in particular just ahead. A little later in this program, the opioid crisis continues, this time with what many believe is a more dangerous type of fentanyl. We'll talk about what is being found in Ohio and the consequences so far. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our look at how climate change may be impacting communities of color in unique ways. We're joined by Institute for Sustainable Communities, Director of U.S. Programs Jamie Love, Green Umbrella Climate Policy Lead Savannah Sullivan, Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio Vice President of Policy and Strategic Initiatives Ashley Young, and Hamilton County Public Health Health Promotion and Education Director Mary Ellen Knabel. I'll go back to Jamie Love from the Institute for Sustainable Communities. Jamie, this was a pilot program that involved Cincinnati and some communities in Florida and Louisiana about how perhaps they could address climate change issues specific to minority communities there. What happens next after the pilot program?
Sure. So this started off as the Regional Collaboration for Equitable Climate Solutions pilot. We have actually shifted the name moving forward to the Urban Equity Compact. And the whole purpose of this pilot was really to bring together diverse cross-sector teams made up of both community organizations and local governments that could work together to develop and look at how to create innovative regional strategies that are inclusive and equity-centered and community-driven. And so after going through the pilot with the three regions that we worked in, we're really looking now to continue to move this work forward across the country. And so our goal is to expand and continue building upon the Urban Equity Compact and scaling it throughout the U.S. To other collaborations in other cities while, you know, continuing to work with the three pilot communities if they have interest in moving forward. But we really took the time in the pilot to identify the knowledge and gaps that have been identified both by government partners and the community partners and stakeholders. And so we know that there is keen importance on centering the needs of community leaders and relationship building, promoting education and understanding about equity and about climate. And being able to map equity goals and really sharing that multi-sector, multicultural engagement and inclusion practices. And so the innovation around creating the Urban Equity Compact was really to make sure that we could not have a top-down approach by just working with local governments, but actually creating these government and community partnerships to work together in tandem to identify and create solutions to address climate problems in their region.
Savannah Sullivan is Green Umbrella Climate Policy Lead. Savannah, you've been on this program before. Other organizations like yours with similar goals have also appeared on this program. And we've talked broadly about concerns over climate change and way this region could address it, either through additional green space and other mitigation efforts. What did your organization and you learn specifically about policies that could be directed towards communities of color to aid them in this fight against climate change that perhaps were not being deployed before?
Absolutely. Yeah, we are very lucky to be working in this region. We have a great ecosystem of partners who are very dedicated to climate and equity work. And our climate policy program at Green Umbrella is dedicated to kickstarting and accelerating climate planning and implementation processes that center equity and resilience. And as Jamie mentioned, you know, we are working to be this next generation of a region that can work not just with local governments, but community partners as well to collaboratively design policies and approaches to draw down emissions, adapt to climate change, and center important equity questions. And so what this will look like in conversations that have been happening here locally is we're working to better understand what are the priorities, needs, and challenges of local governments and communities of all sizes. And we hope to launch a regional climate collaborative next year, which is basically a regional governance structure to bring together these different organizations and local governments to have a venue to learn about available resources, build capacity among local government staff on these issues, train folks running for local office on these issues, and importantly, foster collaboration throughout the region and design a regional action playbook, a menu of policy options, several of which Mary Ellen mentioned, but many will come from communities and local governments themselves. A key message here is that we're all in this together. And what we have learned is that what is central to all of this work is raising awareness that climate change and racial injustice share roots, and that we must empower communities to participate in civic processes and actually work to co-create plans and policies. So I also want to shout out to Groundwork Ohio River Valley, Sophie Revis in particular. She participated in this pilot with us, as did Florence Parker from the Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Council of Governments and Tom Carroll at the Village of Silverton. And what we are hearing from governments is that there's this need for equitable community engagement strategies, which highlight the importance of this procedural equity question about addressing power structures and ensuring that our engagement shifts power and builds trust amongst everyone. And so we have actually partnered with Groundwork Ohio River Valley and City of Cincinnati to pilot a climate advisory group process with frontline communities through Groundwork's Climate Safe Neighborhoods program. And so, you know, building on community engagement and ensuring that we are sourcing and co-creating solutions with frontline communities and bringing local government partners into those conversations to listen and then collaboratively build strategies forward is really the mechanism we envision going forward. And I want to emphasize that, you know, we are in the design phase. So local governments and communities who are listening, if you're interested in getting involved in these programs and the Regional Climate Collaborative in particular, please reach out if you're interested in resources and getting involved, because there's a lot coming down the pipeline from the federal government through the bipartisan infrastructure deal, $550 billion in new money, which will create on average 1.5 million jobs per year over the next 10 years. So we are preparing ourselves for this opportunity and making sure we center frontline communities in that work.
Let's return to Ashley Young, Vice President of Policy and Strategic Initiatives at the Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio. Ashley, can you tell us at all what the response has been from the Black community in the Cincinnati area as you try to engage on the issue of climate change?
Yes, I think that even as Savannah mentioned, really in the early stages right now, I think after participating in the program, one of my key takeaways is that the huge area of opportunity is really education. As I mentioned before, I think a lot of times when people think about, you know, flooding or asthma or different things like that, they're not connecting it to climate change. And so I think there's a huge opportunity for people to better understand when we say climate change, what does that even mean? Because I think it can have very different meanings for people. And so for me, I think the very important piece, and that's why I'm really excited of the work that Green Umbrella is doing, is really education. And I think there's an opportunity to do that, but then also being able to transfer it, as Savannah mentioned, to even the job opportunities as well. And so when we think about the impacts of climate change, it's an environmental impact as well as an economic one, because there are different jobs within the environmental space that are going to become available that people might not be aware of. And so I think for us, the huge opportunity is an education piece.
Mary Ellen Knebel is Health Promotion and Education Director at Hamilton County Public Health. And Mary Ellen, I suppose that that education effort would be at least partially involving Hamilton County Public Health, right?
Absolutely. We definitely, in general, and also with our We Thrive communities, are seeing that folks are interested in learning more. They're seeing the impact of climate change and want to know what role they can play in helping to make their communities the healthiest it can be, and want to make those changes that are going to last for generations. And so I definitely see We Thrive and our health and the health department playing a role as we move forward.
I'll go back very quickly to Jamie Love, the Institute for Sustainable Communities Director of U.S. Programs. And I am just about out of time here, Jamie, but that's what I want to ask about. Oftentimes when you hear messaging on climate change, you get the feeling that we are already out of time. What's your perspective on that?
My perspective is that there is much work to be done to ensure that we don't run out of time. You know, definitely climate change is happening. It is happening right now. It's not something that's happening in the future that we don't have to worry about. So if we want to be able to have future generations who are here and are thriving, then we really need to start to look at making changes now to create sustainable and resilient communities. And so making sure that there are these, you know, collaborative efforts that are happening with multi-stakeholder partners to address, you know, all of the community needs. Making sure that people do understand what the climate impacts are that are affecting them. I think Ashley's point is spot on, and something that we stress a lot at ISC is, you know, everyday people don't necessarily know what that means to them. And so being able to show how that impacts their everyday lives then makes people more keenly aware and wanting to understand what they can do and how to move forward. So I think that you know, really working on looking at where there are infrastructure opportunities, such as green infrastructure, such as solar infrastructure, looking at job and economic opportunities is huge. We know there is a large market in clean and green jobs, and people of color are being left out in large numbers. And so making sure that people are getting access to those possibilities, and then also making sure that the solutions are really being driven by those who are closest to the problem. So community-centered, equity-driven, making sure that our community leaders really are in touch with their local politicians, are you know, creating policy agendas and moving those things forward, are accessing the dollars and resources that they need in order to be able to make change that really can have impacts for years to come in terms of trying to mitigate or adapt to the constantly changing environment.
That is Jamie Love, Institute for Sustainable Communities, Director of U.S. Programs. Thank you so much, Jamie, for being with us. My thanks also this afternoon to Green Umbrella Climate Policy Lead Savannah Sullivan, Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio Vice President of Policy and Strategic Initiatives Ashley Young, and Hamilton County Public Health Health Promotion and Education Director Mary Ellen Knebel. Thanks to all of you for your time today.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.